Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date, September 10th, 2020. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after the program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, text me first, cell phone number 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates of the breaking news as well as all about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, everything about our ministry at our hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube, podcast, some FM stations. Pray about supporting airtime. Glad we got through that fast. Anyway, let's thank our listener base that's worldwide. Places like, hello over there in Dublin, Ireland, Cali, Colombia, Manila, the Philippines, Barcelona, Spain, and of course the United States. This week, some of the top cities are Tampa, Florida, Fresno, California. And folks, I just seen a picture of Fresno, California, the mountains burning behind it, and I have a brother over there. I pray you're safe. Anyway, Atlanta, Georgia, and this week, Wichita, Kansas, made it back to being the largest group of listeners to our programs when they go to podcasts later tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter, Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. And, folks, I don't know how this guy just keeps getting on, but he's back with us again. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please, please, please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, yeah, you guessed it, folks. It's Pastor Carl Gallup. He's a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. He's heard around the world, nationally, internationally, TV, radio guest commentator. He's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's the founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written 11 books now. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, Masquerade, and his newest book, which he's going to bring up tonight, we're going to talk about, hopefully, is called The Summoning. I think that's what it's called. Anyway, welcome now, Pastor Carl. Are you there with me?
Yeah, I am, and I don't know how I keep getting on either. Your producer calls me all the time and says, would you please come on the show? And so he says, he always tells me, he says, I don't think Pastor Dan wants you on, but I really like you. So
that's how it is. I wonder who can hold responsible for that.
I think that's how it's happening.
Before we move into anything, you know, I always put your webpage up, as I do with anybody that I have on, right?
Yeah.
But I got a good little laugh, chuckle. You got this new, I guess they call them gifts, thing up here, and there's this teacher going to the kids, and they say, what did you learn during lockdown? And the kids are going, all lives matter. We don't come from monkeys. Marriage between a man and woman. That is really funny.
Yeah,
you know, but it's truthful.
thank you. I appreciate it. Well, yeah, there's, I got five kids answering, you know, all lives matter. We didn't come from monkeys. Marriage is between a man and a woman. There are only two genders. And the other one I love is Jesus is the only way.
Oh,
and,
yeah, that's at the bottom, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And because the point is that even though the people, the leftists, the ugly people, I call them, who kind of took this real crisis, I mean, it's a crisis. It's not
right.
The Black Death. It's not the Black Plague. It's not even the Spanish flu that killed hundreds of thousands of people in the United States and millions and millions and millions around the world. Is not even that, but it's still serious. Okay, but the thing is that the ugly people, the leftists, you know, the God haters, the America haters, they quickly learned that, you know, we can use this to our advantage, and maybe we can influence the election, maybe we can do vote by mail, maybe we can shut down the churches, which is a big sounding board for conservative values, maybe we can, you know, shut down people's lives and dehumanize them and make everybody wear masks and feel stupid if they don't. And so they jumped on top of this. And so what happened was they closed the schools down. They're just basically shutting down every way of person-to-person communication about the election and truth and what's happening. But it backfired on them in one way. Well, in several ways it backfired, but that meme, that's what they're called, M-E-M-E, a meme, what it does is it has the teacher saying, so what did you learn, children, while you were on lockdown? You know, because, you know, public schools
right.
are like that. They're always kind of psychoanalyzing the children. How does it feel? How did that make you think about that? What did you learn when you were here? So the teacher's asking that, and all of the kids, they're spouting back, yeah, we learned that marriage is really between a man and a woman. We learned that that Jesus Christ is the only way. We learned that all lives matter. In other words, by having to stay home, they were homeschooled, and a lot of them, a lot of public school students have been put in Christian schools and private schools. Listen, let me give you an example from our own area. We have a huge public school system here, but we have several Christian schools and several private schools. Well, in the Christian schools, there is zero mask requirement because children do not get COVID, and if they do, they don't die from it. And it's just crazy to have little children wearing masks all day long, and they're sneezing in it and coughing in it and trading masks with each other and running their fingers up and down in it inside of it. It's just stupid. So the Christian schools have said, no mask. Let's do school. The public schools, of course, are attached to the leftist side of our nation, and they're all, even the public schools are demanding social distancing, everybody wear masks, you know, and it's just crazy. And so in our own public school system, Pastor Dan, tons of kids left the public school system, and they're now being homeschooled, and they're in Christian schools. And I say, praise God, because now they're hearing the truth about very important things.
Yeah, amen. And so that's a blessing in the middle of this garbage. And, you know, I'm sorry, I just have to call it garbage, especially when you have some of these people, teachers, unions and stuff, admitting that, well, things will change after the election and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Well, it's a, excuse me, you caught me eating my dinner. I haven't eaten all day today, and I thought surely Pastor Dan will talk a few more seconds. But
okay,
you did.
Well,
but anyway.
I can give you a few seconds.
No, let
me set the stage for this.
Okay.
Because we want to go into your book after a while. That'll take in the second half of the program, we'll have more time. I can't wait to talk about it. But what I do want to address, and I'm going to tell you kind of what I touched on last program and kind of where my heart's at, and I know that you can set it straight. You're the guy to do this. Over and over, two things I keep seeing happen, you know, popping up on Facebook. One of these meme things that you're talking about said, should even a Christian be involved in politics? Well, we know the answer to that. But then, you know, we have another issue here. And a lot of pastors won't speak up, and I know you do, but a lot of pastors will not speak up because they won't talk political. And, you know, there is a reason why, even if they were afraid of that, that they could now with Trump because of something that he did. So what do you think? From a pastor's point of view, are Christians supposed to be silent? Can they vote? Can they vote for Trump? He's really rough around the edges. What do you think?
Okay, well, you asked two or three very good questions right there together, and they're great questions, and they're fair questions, and people are asking them, so thank you for setting me up for that. First of all, let me just say, we'll talk about should a Christian vote for Trump, because he's not the most perfect person in the world, in just a moment. But let's just speak about voting and elections and Christians and citizenship and what difference does it make and should we even do that. All right. First of all, for those who understand that there's absolutely nothing biblically wrong for Christians to be involved in the political process, there's nothing wrong with it. And I can prove that from the scriptures, and we'll talk about it in a moment. But the point is, you know, Jesus told us in the very first sermon he ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, or the first one we have record of in Matthew 5, he said, look, you are the light, you are the salt. And I'm paraphrasing, but listen to what he said. He said, nobody lights a lamp and then puts a basket over it. No, you let it shine. Well, he's speaking of we Christians. What do? Are we supposed to just hide in our corners of the four walls of our churches or our homes and say, well, you know, I really shouldn't vote. That's evil. All the world is evil. I shouldn't be involved in it. What do you mean? Of course we are. We're ambassadors for the kingdom. We're secret agents for the Lord God. Yes, Satan is the God, little g, of this world. Yes, he is the prince of the power of the air. Yes, he is the prince of this world, Jesus said. But we have been raised up to be the Esthers and the Davids and the Jeremiahs and the Daniels and the Shadrachs and Meshachs and Abednegoes and the Lots and the Noahs of our day. That's who we are. God put us here in the midst of a fallen world. He called us unto himself, and now he says, go be the light. There's darkness everywhere. You are the only light, the word of God, Jesus Christ, in your mouth, telling people and being out there ministering like you and your ministry does. You're the only real light in this world. So yes, you got to get involved. Also, he says, but you are also the salt. Now watch this, Pastor Dan. He says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, it will be trampled underfoot. Brother, we're watching the church being trampled underfoot in the United States of America, the largest Christian nation the planet has ever known, the most powerful and largest constitutional republic the planet has ever seen, the wealthiest, the most blessed, the strongest militarily, the strongest economy. And the church has been largely silent for decades. I mean, the Supreme Court said we don't know what a marriage is anymore in 2015, and barely a whimper from the churches. Oh, there were thousands of churches and pastors that spoke up, but there were tens of thousands that didn't. When Obama was telling little girls and little boys they could shower together and change clothes together. I mean, thousands of churches spoke up, but tens of thousands never said a word. And so we just keep becoming worthless salt, and then an upper respiratory virus, which was bad, it sweeps the world, but it's not the Black Death. It's not even the Spanish flu. And what do? They say, boo, go run and hide, boo. And every pastor shut the doors. They ran and hid, and churches closed, and Christians fled for the hills, And listen, brother, I'm not trying to be disparaging here. I've said this before. I know there are cases where the churches had to close, needed to close for a while to kind of test the waters. You don't want to be a lawbreaker. If your governor said close, right, you should close for a while. But after a while, like in California, when the governor comes back and says, look, casinos can be open, restaurants can be open, but churches are closed indefinitely. I'll get back to you. And, of course, that's when John MacArthur said, wait a minute. Of course, he's in a battle for his life now, because you can see that the government of California is attacking the church. Right. And so that's what the Bible says. Jesus warned us. He said, if you start losing your saltiness, well, what is salt? It's a preservative. It's a healing agent. You know, it's a flavorer, like you put it on your food and it pops flavor to life. You're supposed to be out there flavoring the world with the gospel. We're supposed to be out there using the healing agent. It hurts when you put salt on a wound, but it can also bring healing to it. It's all of these things. It's also an irritant, you know. I mean, we're supposed to be a little irritating. I mean, we're not supposed to be jerks, but just we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of the word. We get out there, we preach it, we teach it, we minister it, we stand in strength and courage, and we are then the salt. But the vast majority of the church in America has been more concerned with big buildings, big money, big crowds, fluffy little sermons that don't hurt anybody's feelings. A lot of pastors desire desperately to be famous and rich and sit at the cool kids' table and be loved by everybody. And the word of God has been watered down. The salt lost its saltiness. And the first real test we've had was this COVID thing when we rounded the corner in 2020. And boom, prophetic happening after prophetic happening. We can talk about it later because that's what my new book is about. Is just rolling in like a flood all over the planet. So I say to Christians, oh my gosh, in America, you better be involved. I mean, we're actually, I think God holds us accountable if we don't get involved. He gave us the gift of a constitutional republic, the gift of the ability to run for office, to vote for who we want, to speak up in relative freedom, to get out there and campaign and try to keep some fairly godly leadership in office, or at least people with some sense of right and wrong and some common sense about rule of law and constitutional republic and protecting our borders and protecting the wombs of women and protecting marriage and all of these things. And if we don't do that, Pastor Dan, then shame on us if it all burns down around us. And that's kind of what's happening right now. And so I'm going to
Let me throw something in.
Pause and take a breath. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, you can breathe for a minute. Nibble on whatever you got.
I'm gonna pause.
I'll throw this in.
Pretend like it's your show.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay.
I'm trying to be funny, but we've got a delay
here. You
are
funny.
Comedy doesn't work.
It works okay. Listen. Over and over, and this hit me really hard because there are some guys that have this prophetic ministry, and it's on Facebook, and they do it live and all these things. But you know, one of the main guys says, well, you know, he doesn't get involved with politics, but yet he calls himself the program's a Watchman program. You know, Ezekiel 33:6 and all that teaches you, that says that we are to warn the wicked to deliver our soul, right? But so. If you're a watchman ministry, how can you not point out evil? If it's not our job as Christians to do that, to point out evil, then whose job is it? Is the evil going to point itself out? They're just, you know, it's just utterly ridiculous. You are right. We are where we were at because of this, and the coronavirus brought it all out, just as Trump becoming president brought out so much straightforward evil like I've never seen in my. They had also been hit under a rock, I think, had not he been elected. Speaking of which, you have these Christians that say, well, can we vote for Trump? Look at his past. Well, wait a minute. Isn't Christianity about forgiving past? Back to you.
Well, brother, look at your past. Look at my past. I mean, yes, I had an honorable profession in law enforcement and all that, but listen, I was in my 20s, my 30s, even my late teens when I got into law enforcement in Florida. I was still growing up, and there was a part of that time I was running from the Lord, so I wasn't some illegal, you know, trashy person, but brother, if everybody knew every little stupid thing that I did in those years, nobody would want to be, they wouldn't want me to be their pastor under those standards. I mean, there's a person's past does drag along behind us. That's why we tell our children, be careful of what you're doing in your teenage and young adult years, because it will follow you the rest of your life. That's correct. And so we warn our kids. That's a biblical principle. Be careful because it follows you. On the other hand, as we move down the road, and Donald Trump's now 70 years old, and when we get into our 50s, our 60s, our 70s, and if we put those stupid, childish things behind us and we've made amends with, I mean, if we're born-again believers, then we've brought it before the cross, we're under the blood, we've changed our ways, God is still changing our ways. And even if you're not a believer, if you've just amended your ways and made some things right and you're getting on as a mature adult, well, we cannot judge each other to that extent of, well, look what they used to do. Well, name me one person who doesn't have something in their background, maybe a lot of somethings. I couldn't be a pastor, brother. And now I'm not making excuses for Donald Trump, but here's what I say. And it's almost cliche-ish now. I don't know if I coined the phrase, but I know way back when all of this first came up with Donald Trump in 2015 and 2016, you know, how can we vote for him? Look what he is. Look what he's used to be. And what I told people is this, and I'm going to say it now, I'm going to put it in November 4th, 2020. On November 5th, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be in the White House, or either Donald Trump and Mike Pence. I mean, one of those two teams is going to be in the White House. I mean, regardless of whether we want to get involved in politics or not, or regardless of how we feel about Donald Trump. So the question is, you got to ask, do you want extreme leftists who are out to destroy the First and Second Amendments? Now, brother, I'm not just saying this politically. They talk about this every day. They actually say, we're going to get your guns. We're coming for your guns. You're not going to be able to have the free speech that you think you have now. They've already shut the churches down under government edict over an upper respiratory virus, and the church is obliged. And if they go in power, brother, after tasting that blood, and what do you think they're going to do? And so I tell Christians, listen, we're not trying to elect a priest or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a deacon. We are trying to elect a commander-in-chief of the military, of our economy, of somebody that respects rule of law and our constitutional rights, somebody who says he's a Christian. And if he is, he's a baby Christian, and even if he's not living it, at least he's not anti-Christian. At least he's supporting the church. He's supporting pro-life. He's supporting strong borders. He's supporting the military. He's supporting...
Okay, Carl, I got to break in. We got like about 10 seconds, folks. Get him at carlgallops.com, carlgallops.com. We'll come back in 4 minutes and we're going to talk some more. We'll be back.
Go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
As I try to figure out what this world is all about, I know one thing without a doubt, my Lord is in control. Careless times I know are here. Lord is in control. Signs and wonders.
Philosophy has been defined as the love of wisdom, a search for a general understanding of values and reality by chiefly speculative rather than observational means. At the time Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians, men attempted to add to the commandments of God. These man-made ordinances could not be found in Scripture. Paul said that these philosophical rules and regulations, which he called handwriting of ordinances, were against men, were contrary to them, and that they were nailed to the cross. Based on what Paul said, today's philosophers, those who search for an understanding of values by speculative rather than by observation of Scripture, attempt to nail God's commandments to the cross when they find one that interferes with the wisdom of man. They would lead us to believe that some of God's commandments are contrary to us. But let us have a look at what the Bible says. Were God's commandments against men, contrary to us? Absolutely not. Scripture says that God's commandments are righteous commandments, that they are faithful, that they are delight, that they are truth, and that they will not pass away, for the truth does not change. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. This is Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Of course, we're talking with Pastor Carl Gallatin. We'll get right back to him. Just let me give you take one more minute for the Mission Church. Folks, we are out there in the midst of these things, and we are still feeding and caring for people. First aid, prayers, everything. You wouldn't believe how many Bibles are going out. We just can't even keep Bibles. That's an amazing thing in and of itself. They get the gospel, they get the things that they need. But it's hard with the way that we're being oppressed and everything. It is really, really hard with all their silly rules that they try to put on us, but we are still there doing it. But we do need your support. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. You can call and give a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, I know you enjoy our guests like Pastor Carl and other ones. Consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air. And now we're back talking with Pastor Carl. You still there, Carl?
I am, Pastor Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, amen. I'm sorry I cut you off there, but, you know, we had to go to a break. That's radio. We have these forced breaks, you know.
Yes, sir. Well, I've got my own show for 20 years. Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a little delay. I thought you were finished. I was going to say, no, I've had my own radio show for 20 years, you know, and I understand that. And and you know, the relentless return of the clock. And it's my apologies, brother. I know that you're at the bottom of the hour was a break, and I wasn't even watching the clock. I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
You're not. That's one thing you're not is an idiot. I would never let somebody say that about you, including yourself. But, you know, we forget. We get to forget those things because we cross the old people line, I think, you know. Although my doctor tells me that I'm in as good a shape as a really good 50-year-old, and I'm 65, so.
Well, good for you. Yeah, good for you. Right. That's amazing, brother. What a blessing of God.
Yeah, and it is a blessing. But don't you get it, though? He just put me together because he said, I ain't done with you yet. You got a lot of stuff you got to do for me, so that's why he's keeping me together.
That's right.
Yeah, amen. But anyway.
Well, you want me to finish what I was saying and then move on?
Yeah, pick it up and finish it.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is people say, well, why should we vote for Trump? He's rough around the edges. He curses sometimes. He does this. He does that. I know. But here's what I say to people. People stop and think. On November 5th, it's either going to be Biden or Trump. It's either going to be totally leftist, socialist, Obamacare, children showering together. He'll bring all of that back. Against the Second Amendment, against so much of the First Amendment, against the Fourth Amendment. He comes out of the same regime that spied on President Trump, lied to FISA courts, made up dossiers. Now, I'm not saying Joe Biden did it, but the Clinton machine was involved in it. The Obama machine was involved in it. He was Obama's vice president. He's great friends with Hillary Clinton. That's what we will be in for. So for a Christian to sit back and say, well, Trump cusses every now and then. Well, Pastor Dan, I don't know about you, but I used to do that too. I'm not proud of it. I'm not excusing it. But people will say things like that. Well, look what he did. Look what he does. Listen to how he talks. He's on Twitter every day. Well, I'm glad he's on Twitter. Finally, we got a man in the office that stands up to people who bully him. And the lies. Can you imagine with today's fake media if he never, ever spoke up? What they would do, they would completely destroy him. He is a fighter. He's a street fighter from New York. I love that about him. I wish he was just a born-again, oozing the Holy Spirit, Jesus-loving, Sunday school-attending, preaching, singing in the choir kind of pastor. But I can tell you who was a church-going, choir-singing, Sunday school-teaching president, and that was Bill Clinton. And it was also Jimmy Carter. Now, see, they sold themselves to America by being that, and Christians ran out and voted for him. Well, look what Bill Clinton did in the Oval Office, et cetera, et cetera. Look what Jimmy Carter did to our economy and to the hostages in Iran that we almost lost if it hadn't been for Ronald Reagan. Even Ronald Reagan, people hold him up as this epitome of the greatness, and I love him. I mean, I'm so glad he was our president. But his wife consulted palm readers and you know, basically witches in the White House and astrologists. Right. They didn't make a move without consulting the stars. I mean, Nancy and Ronald. Now, Ronald was not near as bad about it, but Nancy was. Ronald hardly set foot inside of a church during his presidency. He said, well, I can't. It's not safe for people. Well, other presidents have done it. He could have done it. So the bottom line is we've never had a spirit-filled, born-again, come-on-Pastor-Dan show and talk about Jesus and lead people to the Lord and teach Sunday school from the Word of God and sing praise songs to Jesus with spirit-filled vigor. We've never had that, ever. And so it basically comes down to who are the candidates that we have to choose from? Who is best going to protect what we believe? Who's going to protect the church, protect our freedom to keep going forward? Who's going to best speak to the horrible issues of abortion and the definition of marriage and the definition of gender? And who's going to speak to the definition of national borders and relationships with China, North Korea, and Iran, and Russia, and the Middle East? Who's going to speak to the relationship with Israel? I mean, and is it going to be Joe Biden and the Clintons and the Obamas? No. Joe Biden has been in office for 49 years. and people can barely name anything he's done that has totally transformed this nation. Donald Trump has been in office less than 4 years. He brought unemployment to the lowest records ever until COVID hit, and now, even as COVID is lifting up, the unemployment is going down and down and down. I mean, the economy is going up and up and up. Again, it's crazy, the economy that Trump has created. I mean, in less than 4 years, you can name accomplishment after accomplishment after accomplishment that Trump has done. Try to name the accomplishments of Joe Biden that literally transformed this nation and brought all kinds of power to the people of America in 49 years, a half a century. And you can't name one, Pastor Dan. You can't name them. Yeah. I know that he was a supporter of segregation. You want to talk about people's past? He was as racist as you can get in that regard. He aligned himself with other Democrat senators who were part of the KKK. I mean, Senator Robert Byrd, Joe Biden called him a hero and a wonderful man. I mean, come on, folks. This is what I try to tell Christians. You've got to use your head. Be the salt. Be the light. If you're looking for a perfect man to be president, you need to vote for Carl Gallup or Dan Chapman. You know. No, and I'm being funny because here we are pastors, and even we are not perfect. And we don't have perfect backgrounds. So come on, Christians, get off of this thing about, well, Trump isn't a man of God. He isn't perfect. I wish he was, but please name for me in our lifetime a president that we had who was truly a man of God, walking the way we think a man of God ought to walk. We've never had one. Not in my lifetime we haven't. So I'm just saying, brother, on November 5th, the church had better wake up. Because what it does on November 4th is going to determine who's in the White House on November 5th. And it will determine whether we have some sort of a constitutional republic, a rule of law nation under Donald Trump, or a socialist, communist, leftist, America-hating, constitution-hating nation under Joe Biden and his regime. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, amen. And all I have to say about this, other than the fact that you're absolutely right, I will say this. You know, for years, Carl, especially during, you know, the Obama era, I kept praying and asking, saying, well, you know, what is it going to take to fix this country? Because every politician, you know, it would seem like they acted the same way. Obama, much worse, but you know what I'm saying? Nothing would get fixed. And it overwhelmingly in my spirit, I kept feeling the same thing over and over. It will take a businessman, somebody that is not abiding to anybody and only cares about fixing the country and not the next election. Well, then Trump came in and he fit the bill perfect. So, folks, you got to get out and vote. You got to do your part. You got to raise up, or you're not going to have any room to complain. And for the record, I need to point to this, folks. You need to go to the return.org, and get involved with this, the return thing that's going to be going on this September 26th with Jonathan Cahn. Anyway, that's all right. Did you hear about the return?
No, tell me about it, bro.
You didn't? Jonathan Cahn, well, beyond, you go to the return.org, he has stationed for the National Mall, a big get-together, and there's a whole bunch of ministries jumping on board, and they're going to have a National Day of Repentance, and it's going to be simulcast all over. And as you know, that's the day before the Day of Atonement, and it's a really big deal. I'll send you a link to it, and you can check it out. Maybe we'll talk about it later.
And we'll
promote it. It's a real big deal, and you need to promote it.
Yeah, and I'll promote it everywhere. I sure will. Jonathan is a dear friend of mine, and, of course, now our friendship is relegated to emails and stuff as busy people. You know, it's like you and me. The only time we talk to each other is on the air or in emails.
Right. Right. And I've had Jonathan on my program before.
Why
in
not?
Fact, he was when he first came out with the Harbinger, he did that for WorldNet Daily, right? That was the first one that published him, and I was doing all their book authors at that time. And so I had him on, and then we talked about that, and then he wanted to come back on the next week, and then he said he had something else to talk about that he hadn't, you know, really talked about anywhere, and it was a Sumitcha or Sumatcha or whatever that is, that big thing. We
Shemitah.
Talked about that. Yeah, that's it.
The Shemitah.
Yeah. But anyway, so for the record, it's a really big deal. It's going to be held on the National Mall, and he's trying to get people to simulcast it and everything, and there's a lot of ministries on board and ministers that are going to be there to preach. So you need. I sent you a link, and you'll have to check it out. Anyway.
Yeah, thank you.
So amen. All right. You snuck another book on us.
Do what?
I said you snuck another book on us, Carl.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You said that so quickly. You snuck another book on us.
I'm sorry. I have a tendency to talk fast because I'm used to getting through my lead-in real quick so I can get right into the program.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was funny. I had no idea what you said, bro.
I bet a lot of people don't understand my lead-in anyway, but at least I said it.
Yeah, well, I'm used to your lead-in, so I get that, but I didn't. I heard you say, snuck another book on it. Snuck another book on it. Yeah, I did. Well, I didn't mean to sneak it. Here's what happened. You know, it seems like every book I've got this story to tell. Well, I'll keep it short, but, you know, Defender Publisher has published the last six books of mine. The first five were published by WND Books out of Washington. But anyway, Tom Horn, the CEO, knew that I was working on another book. He knew where I was going. He said, "Oh man, I'm interested in publishing that if you'll let me do it." He said, "Send me your outline, you know, when you're ready, and I'll let you know." And I said, "Okay." So I was working on it. Well, I sent it to him, and he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want to send you a contract. I want this book." I said, "Okay." And then I said, "Well, when do you look at publishing it and getting it out on the market?" He said, "The first quarter of 2021, which would be January, February, or March." That's when my last book came out in 2021. It was, in 2020, in March of 2020, was Masquerade. And I told you the story behind that last time we were together. That's crazy. But anyway, so... You know, I get it all in, and he tells me, you know, to have it in by August, and because then we got to do all the editing and cover design and marketing stuff and back cover design. We got to get it copyrighted and, you know, and all of these different things, Library of Congress numbers, et cetera. So we're working on all of that. And just a couple of days ago, I get an email from him saying, "Okay, we're going to release this November 15th. I said, "What? I thought it was going to be released in March of 2021. He said, no. He said, "This is good." He said, I got to get this out to the world. People need to read this." I said, "Okay." So, brother, it's going to release about 8 weeks from now, I guess, or something like that, 10 weeks, I guess. It's just crazy. But, yeah, it's called The Summoning, Preparing for the Days of Noah. My last book was called The Masquerade, Preparing for the Greatest Con Job in History.
I got to butt in. That masquerade was so prophetic because a huge amount of the stuff that you said that was the devil was going to use as a masquerade came about, including COVID. Back to you.
Including mask wearing, including epidemics and pandemics, including shutting the churches down. Brother, it was all in that book, and I had no idea. I had no idea when I was writing it, but God did, and He obviously was directing some of the things, or hopefully all of the things, but things that I was writing that I really didn't know was going to really happen in just a few months. Well I think
I'm sorry, I'm going to butt in again. You know what? If that book came out about 2 months later after when it came out, people would have said, "Oh, Carl, look, you copied everything that happened. Back to you."
Yeah, well, I know, that's right, and of course I didn't, and I've got so many witnesses to that, including my own publishers, and they're the ones that came up with the cover design and the actual title based upon what I had written, and I really liked, I wanted to have the word masquerade in the title because I was basing the whole thing on the passage that says that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Well, what does that mean, particularly for the prophetic times we're living in? So I started writing to that. And, brother, I mean, it just started flowing out of my head and heart. And, And I was just writing and writing for months, and then, you know, the rest of the story I've already told about how the cover design came. But you're right. They designed that cover and gave it the title and determined that they were going to release it in March. They did all of that back in September or October of 2019, long before COVID ever came out. And they just stayed true to the marketing calendar, you know, because I'm not their only author, and so they have to, you know, space them and everything. And it came out at the exact same time that we were going under mask mandates, and people were being hoodwinked into a fear that they shouldn't have been hoodwinked into, a con job, forced to wear masks, a pandemic of an upper respiratory virus. It wasn't the Black Death. It wasn't the Spanish flu. It's bad, but it's a con job. So much of it is directed towards the election. It's directed towards politics. It's directed towards shutting churches down. I mean, that's so clear. In the midst of this, the Supreme Court just a few weeks ago literally ruled in a case out of Nevada, you know this, we've talked about it, that casinos and restaurants have more of a right to be open than a church does during a pandemic. I mean, they just trashed the First Amendment right of the churches. The Supreme Court did, brother.
Yeah.
And basically handed those protections to the casinos and took them away from the churches. And, brother, barely a pastor whimpered from the pulpit. We've heard barely anything from the church about this atrocity that just happened in the Supreme Court. And so, brother, that book has proven to be prophetic. It is still unwrapping to be prophetic. And if you think that is, this book that I've written called The Summoning, and that comes from Psalm 50, where it says the Lord God is going to summon the heavens and the earth before his throne. He's going to summon his own people. He's going to catch them up. There's a picture of a rapture in there. He's going to bring them, everybody, before his throne. He's going to hold the whole earth accountable. His own children will rule and reign with him. The world will be summoned unto his throne. But as you get into the book, you realize that that theme goes deeper than that. It talks about the last days and the outpouring of the demonic realm. And the Bible actually says from the Old to the New Testament that even that is a summoning from the throne of God, a bringing up from the heart of the earth, and a bringing down from the interdimensional heavenly realms. And the angels, the stars, will fall to the earth. And all of the scholars and all the scriptures that identify the stars as being angels, fallen angels, demonic outpouring. And that matches what Jesus said when he said, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. Well, one of the things that was happening in the days of Noah was this sons of God coming unto the daughters of men, this commingling with the demonic realm and celebrating it. And the world became so evil that God said, okay, I'm going to kill everything except for Noah, his family, and the animals I bring to him. So this book deals with all of that. It deals with what happened when we turned the corner in 2020. It deals with the COVID, not the virus. I say in there, listen, this thing is not about the virus. It's a demonic thing. It's about the fear that came with it. It's about the stripping of our rights that came with it. It's about calls for global governance all over the earth now, from nations all over the world. There are prophetic things that are snapping all around us, brother, that, again, 90% of the church, not only are they not preaching it, but they're not preaching it because they don't even see it, which is exactly what Jesus said would happen in the days of Noah in the last days. He said they'll go on eating and drinking and marrying and buying and selling. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, Pastor Dan, but the point he's making is that instead of seeing the prophetic times they're living in, instead of seeing the ship in Noah's backyard, instead of understanding that the judgment of God was on its way, the people just went on with life, la, 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 la. And that's what the church in America is doing right now. And all over the world, not just America, it's happening all over the world, brother. We are living in very prophetic times. And as I'm writing the book, the publishers have it now. I just had to quit writing because I would write that I believe that X, you know, so-and-so was going to happen because of all of this. And within weeks, it happened while I'm writing the book. And so I had to rewrite that section and say, oh, well, never mind that. It's already happened. One of the things was about this Supreme Court ruling. I actually had said, I had several paragraphs in there where I said that I believe the courts are going to rule against the churches, and they're going to rule in favor of you know, casinos and everything else. The news has already done it, brother. I give illustration after illustration all over the world where major media blamed Christians for the COVID outbreak around the world. The New York Times did it. The Washington Post did it. News all over the world. I'm telling you, brother, Rome is on fire, and the Christians are being blamed again. The spirit of Nero is sweeping the planet. And this book, The Summoning, explains it all, shows it all, but I write it in the style that I've written all my last books. I take you into the Bible. You are there on the ark when all hell breaks loose. You are inside the ark with Noah. And then it jumps up to the time of Jesus when he's teaching this truth. You're walking the roads with him. You're going village to village with him. You're hearing the context. You're hearing deep explanations from Jesus himself, from the scriptures. It's all scriptural. And then we move into the study of it, right into our headlines, what has happened, what is happening, what is getting ready to happen. Plus, I've got an addendum section, and it comes from my book, Be Thou Prepared, where I teach people just how to prepare like Noah did and like Joseph did and like all of the early church, how they were prepared for tough times. But I also, it ends with a punch of encouragement, a big punch of really lifting you up and helping you to understand how special we are that God would choose us for these days.
Amen. Well, I can clearly see why they wanted to get the book out. Because if they didn't, you know what I'm saying? It's prophecy unfolding as you're talking, Carl.
Yes.
One part of me, well, wait a minute, don't want to read this? You know, of course I do. Of course I do. Of course I want to read it. I was just told I better get closer to the mic. Sorry, folks. Amen. That's coming out when?
November 15th.
15th. Well, I can't wait. I'm sure we'll talk about it again, that's for sure. Well, we got about 30, 40 seconds. Why don't you tell them what they can find at your website and all that, and then we'll say goodbye.
Okay. CarlGallops.com. They can find you guys can find everything about me, my church, me, books, sermon. I preach every Sunday morning live stream. Those sermons are archived. You can go and watch some of that if you want. And please let me just say, if you're tonight listening to this and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I want to give you Romans 10:9. If you would confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Folks, it's time. Now is the day of salvation.
Amen. And amen. Praise the Father. And folks, if you need me after the program, 316-619-4886. Well, Carl, thanks for being on with me. And go check out The Return. And I know you're going to want to help promote this thing, because it's a good thing. Anyway, you be blessed, and we'll talk again. Thanks for being on, Carl.
You too, brother. Thanks for having me. God bless.
All right. God bless. Shalom. Well, that was Pastor Carl Gallops, folks. Go over and check out his site, CarlGallops.com. It's CarlGallops.com. Of course it is. Folks, check out The Return. That's TheReturn.org. TheReturn.org. You're going to want to get involved with this. You really, really should. Everybody should. Anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help. It is tough to function in these times, but we are there doing it. So keep us in your prayers. That's number one. Everything comes from prayer. So start with that. And if you can help financially, that would be a great thing. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for Radio Airtime. But remember, folks, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please, please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them. Please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. And Father, please, I pray for America, and I pray that we repent, and I pray for these poor people that are ousted by these fires. Until till next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.